Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. Hey, join us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get two bonus episodes a week. And that's all I have to say. Right? That's it?
Yeah.
I didn't catalog it in my mind before we started. So why don't we welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend, comedian Josh Chaney.
Hi, guys.
What's hey, up, the dude? Wave is nice, but this is an audio. Don't get thrown by the video.
You can hear the sound of my waving. Hi, everybody. Hi, how are you?
Hey, man. So you are currently in the clogging commercial. What is that? Is that Allstate? What is
No, that's Geico. Geico Insurance. Mm-hmm.
You've got a big problem. You bought the new house, and then what's the line?
We're renters, and it's got, you know, hardwood floors, got crown molding. There is a bit of a clogging problem.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. I can't tell you. You know, you go to all the junkets. You go to, you know, you do the autograph, the stuff. I've had to say the line so many times for so many fans. It is actually funny. I've gotten recognized a couple times because of a commercial or another, you know,
different one
that I've been in. It's happened a couple times because of that commercial, because they've been playing it like crazy. Thank God.
Yeah.
And, but I've had a couple of people recognize me where I've had a hat on and out in public. So I had a mask on. So you can see this, and people were like, clogging, you've got the black girlfriend in that commercial.
That's what they pick up on.
I've had both times that somebody has stopped me to mention it. They mention that. I'm like, yeah. Well, I was like, how do you recognize me from this? Like,
yeah, that's crazy. They've looked into those eyes with hatred at your
I guess. I mean, I think it's cool, but it's just amazing
rad.
that anybody can recognize anybody like that.
No, it's very cool. When you go in and you're doing a commercial like that, you have no idea what the scale of it is going to be, right? Like, you could do 100 of those commercials, and then all of a sudden they just start popping up.
It could not be more of a crapshoot. I mean, I've run every part of the gambit, or it's been audition, second audition, callback, on avail. Shot the commercial, done, paid for the day. 3 months later, we're never airing it. You don't get any money for it.
Yeah.
And then one where it was like, it seemed like such a throwaway. I thought I did terrible. And then I think I had one that ran for something like 3 or 4 years that just kept going, where I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this. So yeah, you never know. I always liken it to it's like a miniature lottery. It's like your odds are like one in a few thousand, because audition for it. But if it hits, it's great.
I did a commercial where they called me up, and they're like, the hope was that it was going to be a Super Bowl commercial. Then they called me up and they're like, okay, it's going to be a Super Bowl commercial, and we need all your info because we're bumping you up because your face is so featured. You're going to get paid a lot more. Oh. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
And it was on the website of all of the Super Bowl commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And then last minute, they didn't air it in the Super Bowl.
Aww.
I was like, I called up all my friends and family. I was like, watch the Super Bowl this year.
watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, this year, only this year.
And I wasn't in it. I was like, fuck, man. Why did you guys call? I wouldn't have cared, but they called me and told me that.
Yeah, I could not be happier with, you know, the fact that I've been able to make a living doing this. But if there's one thing that's kind of maddening about it, is like, there is seemingly no rhyme or reason whatsoever. It's like one will be shown, you know, in another country and then shown on national networks. So then you get paid a certain amount. But other than that, it's just like, I will be paid between $500 and $100,000 for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's what insane. I'm going to get paid is like, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I've never done a commercial. I'm offer only. So if they don't meet my price,
right.
I don't.
Which is the way to go. I mean, you have to know your value.
Yeah. Are you still doing, well, I guess no one's really doing stand-up anymore, but before
the people are still doing stand-up.
Are they doing it like dumb Zoom shows and stuff?
It's hard.
Do you do any of those? Have you done any of those?
No. I did a show last night. A friend of mine, Allison, she wanted to do a Zoom show where it was like a panel of like three comedians, and I was one of the comedians, with kids between 8 and 12 who would just ask questions, like adult questions, like, hey, I'm about to go into high school. What is the most embarrassing thing that happened to you in high school? And we kept it at 30 minutes. So it was like, it was over before we started. It was like,
yeah.
So it was great. It was great.
That's cool. I was going to do a show. And then I was like, I started watching all these shows and I'm like, wait, I don't want to do this.
Right. And I've gotten invited to a couple where it was like, get your tickets here. I was like, whoa. When I did stand up, you didn't pay. It was just like a show that you go to at a bar. Now, because it's over Zoom, you're going to charge. I mean, all right. I mean, people are looking for social things to do while they're quarantined and stuff. So.
Well, how does that work? Can you hear the audience members?
I think so, because everybody is in the Zoom. I don't know. The ones that I've been invited to, I don't know if they do them through Zoom or if it's through like a side thing. But also, yeah, it's like I've been in Zoom meetings where like the audio is clipped if too many people are talking at once. So that really messes with the rhythm and the timing, and all comedy is timing. So, I mean, I'm sure there have been some really good ones and really fun ones. But
in general, are you still doing stand-up?
In general?
Just acting, yeah.
I mean, as much as I can, but yeah, my bread and butter is acting. I had a Zoom audition today, but since this has happened, they're few and far between.
What was that for?
I'll just say it was for a car company.
Oh, another commercial.
Yeah, it was for a car company.
Okay. If I guess it, you have to say which one. Ford.
Let's just go alphabetical. Acura.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. How into conspiracy theories are you?
Say again?
How into conspiracy theories are you? We're going to give you a quiz, but just in general, like how much do you pay attention to this stuff?
Do you want me to be totally honest or you want me to play along?
No, be honest.
I don't subscribe to almost any conspiracy theories. I think they're, for the most part, ridiculous. And it's people trying to connect the dots, trying to make sense out of chaos.
Okay. Well, that being said, we are going to now give you the WOW scale. The WOW scale stands for Wait or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. And you will be graded on a spectrum between 0 to 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to get weighed on the WOW scale?
I am.
WOW scale.
Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
First question, 3-parter. I'll ask all 3 parts. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
So 0 means I don't believe it at all, and 5 means I couldn't believe it anymore?
No, I'm sorry. I got to work on this. Like, we'll grade you. You just say yes or no.
I got you. Okay.
And then feel free to elaborate as you see fit.
I do believe aliens do exist. I don't know necessarily that they have visited this planet. If they have, they're just way smarter than us and haven't left a trace. And if they did leave traces, we're way off the mark. And if they have visited in the last 300 years, I'd say probably.
So if they have visited, you would say that yes, in the last 300 years?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so you're operating under that they're here, you just can't see them because you're not looking at the right things?
Right. Like cat burglars are really good at covering their tracks. Imagine how good an alien species is that could get here.
Don't get me started on cat burglars. Those guys are so sneaky. But in general, because this is weird, because you believe in aliens, but then you kind of said, if they've been here, we wouldn't be able to see them. So do you actually think they've been here, or do you not?
Well, my answer changed once you said 300 years. 300 years is a long time. If you said like in the last 50 years, like since the huge rush of alien paraphernalia and like stuff that, you know, dolls and
crap. Oh, like you know what? That's interesting. You know, to change that to since Roswell, basically, right? That should be the...
Yeah, but 300 years, it's I don't think
it's specifically designed because of the pyramids, and like maybe the aliens came and built the pyramids, but we haven't seen them since.
No, I think with
thousands of years,
I think with 100% certainty, aliens did not create the pyramids. That was definitely man-made.
But Willie, you're misunderstanding. The point of the question is, have aliens ever been to Earth? And then you go, yeah, I think they built the pyramids. But have they ever been here in the last 300 years? No, I think they fucking bailed. That's the that's the point of the 300 years.
No. Yeah, no. I get that. I feel like we came up with that together. But I'm just saying, it's interesting to go like, oh, since Roswell. I think that captures it also. It's like since UFO mania.
I mean, I guess we could change it. I think it's kind of the same. It's like America, you know.
I don't mean I don't mean to make you question your question.
Every single guest
makes you question your question.
Brings up something that makes us question this.
Oh boy.
I know.
Okay, question number two. Do you believe in ghosts?
No, absolutely not.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Okay.
I think of psychics. Could not be more bullshit.
Do you believe in the Billy Goat curse?
No, not at all.
You're a Cubs fan, yeah?
Huge. Lifelong Cubs fan. No, I don't believe that curse had anything to do. It had to do with management.
When did Wrigley put lights in?
Ooh, like not that long ago. 80s. I want to say in the 80s.
Okay, I don't actually know. I was guessing 90s.
If it's not 80s, it's early 90s.
Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No.
There's some pause, though.
I was thinking like the footage that we have of him, but then I immediately flashed on that show, Finding Bigfoot, and I used to watch The Soup, and they would talk about it every single episode saying it's like the most bullshit name for a show because they never found Bigfoot. It was all about looking for him, and they never, so you can't say Finding Bigfoot. You can say searching for Bigfoot, but it was like a show centered around, oh, we totally found him, and they never did. So it's like if you have a whole show.
This is also someone's bit that I'm stealing, I'm sure. But they always do like cliffhangers, like they're about to find him.
You got to keep them interested. Right.
There's no way found him, dude.
That's how I feel about ghost shows, right? So there's this new ghost adventure show where they go to the Tiger King place. And I watched that and I'm like, okay, you had some cool like hits, but like it was weird because the guy kind of reminds me of the guy from Ridiculousness. So like the whole time I was like hoping he would like bust out a skateboard and like try to capture a ghost skateboarding with equipment.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And they do the big commercial breaks, you know, and I'm like, you know, how many ghost shows are there? And if ghosts are real, they're avoiding the shows more than I am.
Right. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job of avoiding them.
Yeah, no, these shows, the only market that is worse is the ghost market. Like they cannot nail down that ghost viewership.
Right.
They have devices that ghosts can put words onto.
Right.
And they right. always happen to be ghostly words like just, murder.
Right.
Gosh,
right.
Have you been on a ghost hunt?
Never. Or like I think I went on like a dearly departed tour, but that just is like sight of bad things that have happened. It's not necessarily like a ghost tour.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's just another example of trying to make sense out of chaos. It's like your brain can't calculate that this sound that you heard is uncorrelated. Like if you just realistically and if you really think about it, it's not an alien.
Or let me ask you this. Do you feel that way about the realm of physics also, that we can't comprehend our universe that we live in?
I would more lean towards, yeah, there's definitely stuff when it comes to physics and astrophysics and yeah, there's you don't know what you don't know kind of a thing.
Super.
Thank you.
You've already pretty much answered question four, which is, do you believe in psychics?
Oh my God. I could go on forever about how much I hate psychics. They really make me angry. It's like psychics and mega church pastors. They're like the exact same person, thing, demon. They just feast on other people's fear, insecurities, and wanting to have answers. And they're just shysters, just snake oil salesmen saying, I'll give you the answers. You just got to give me money. Find me a psychic that realistically wants to help and doesn't take money.
Do you think there's an Indiana Jones out there of the psychic world who's just going around and solving a bunch of psychic stuff?
I think there is, but even well-intended psychics do damage because they either give false hope, put people on the wrong track. You know, you should look into this. I think maybe she, you know, she's in a forest somewhere. So it's like, it's taking you somewhere.
Well, it's funny you say that. Cause like picture talking to Babe Ruth when he was a kid. And like, you could like spill the beans in a bad way. Like, oh man, your baseball card is going to be worth so much. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Right. I want a baseball card. I mean, I just want to play. I'll go play something else.
It would screw them up. Like a butterfly effect. Yeah. Yeah. Psychics, man. Psychics are the worst. Just the absolute worst.
Very anti-psychic. What about superstitions? Are you superstitious?
I'm not superstitious, but at least once a day I say fingers crossed. But that's just a, you know.
That sounds like a superstition, Josh.
That's just a superstition.
I mean, it kind of is, but it's just kind of like, it's not even a, you know, have good thoughts, keep me in your prayers. It's just like a, I hope this happens. It's not a, if I don't do this, it's definitely not going to happen.
Well, but that's not really what a superstition is, right? I don't know. It's a weird superstition.
But like broad superstitions, like today I almost went out of my way to walk underneath a ladder. And I was absolutely fine with that. And while I was doing it, I was like, there's a reason why that's a superstitious thing. It's because people are usually going up somewhere high on a ladder.
Yeah, and they can drop shit on you.
So the possibility of something bad happening underneath a ladder is better than, you know, underneath a car or underneath anything else.
Yeah, I always walk under cars.
You know what I mean. Like, nobody says, "Oh, it's bad luck to crawl underneath a bed." Like, no.
Ooh, that's fine. One thing we could start is a fake bad luck thing.
Oh, well, yeah, there are a lot of antiquated ones. Like Jeff Davis brought up putting a hat on a bed, and that's like supposed to be bad luck.
I didn't know about that at all, and I posted a picture of. I had a Cubs hat on my bed, and it was like during 2016 when they were possibly going to the World Series. And immediately I got a comment. It was like, oh, well, now they're going to lose. What do you mean? I had to look it up. I'd never heard a hat on a bed is bad luck.
Yeah. When you looked it up, did you Did you figure out like the what the reason was?
No, it was like a Yahoo Answers where people are like, "Yeah, I always heard about this, but I
you could always come back with some bullshit like, "Well, no, that is specifically a bed with metal spring frames, and that's not what my bed is."
Right? Yeah, this is a Tempur-Pedic. I'm fine.
Sorry. Now I'm looking it up. It's actually a table or a bed. It's supposed to bring a quarrel. It's supposed to bring a quarrel into the house.
You can't put it on a bed or a table. A coat rack?
But even so, it's that there's a quarrel within the house. So you would never jinx the Cubs. You would just jinx yourself.
A quarrel within the house. How specific?
I know. Yeah.
That's
somebody who cleans the bed, fixes the bed, or cleans off the table is going to be pissed off. Sorry.
Right.
One possible explanation for these superstitions is that they were created when lice were more prevalent. Keeping heads off tables and beds was a way of preventing lice from spreading. Supernatural explanation claiming that evil spirits live in the hair.
Mm. Which other they
superstitions?
Do.
Yeah, of course they do. That's why I'm free and clear. Other hat superstitions include the belief that wearing a hat inside brings headaches and that women who wear hats in church receive bad luck. Eh, whatever. Yeah. Okay, so that's the WoW scale. I think you're a straight up zero. Maybe a one.
On that one?
No, on all of them.
Oh, on like, all
that's
of them.
That's the culmination. You're definitely more of a Wade than a Willie.
Yeah, I mean, there's some... Yeah, I'm just a skeptic, I guess. There's just some things where it's like... Years ago, I would have been like, oh, there's a possibility, but years of living.
Yeah, it's just that our personalities don't allow us to have any fun.
I'm able to have fun. I'm not like a total doggy downer and a party pooper. I just kind of go like, you can believe that if you want, but it's putting onus and putting responsibility on something outside yourself. And obviously there's stuff that you can't control, but it's saying, oh, well, I walked underneath that ladder. No wonder I didn't get that promotion. Like, are you nuts? Or, I mean, have you checked out those pyramids? No way. Slaves built that. It's gotta be people visiting from a different galaxy.
Okay. Well, you're on the verge of insulting Willie.
Sorry, Willie.
What? No, I don't care. I don't care what anybody believes. I'm like, you'll see.
You'll see.
Okay, well, let's see, Willie. What are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Elisa Lamb. Found in the water tank above the Cecil Hotel. Did something mysterious happen here? Conspiracy theories galore all over the internet. LAPD's involved? Ghosts? We're gonna figure it out tonight. There's a new docu-series out. That's fueling our fire. Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
The reason I thought Elisa Lamb was a stand-up comedian is because of Lisa Lampanelli.
Elisa Lampanelli. I could see that.
If you just, yeah. I mean, you know, she's not good.
There was this big wave of roasters, and like, I'm like, I don't laugh at my older brother picking on me.
Right. I once heard it said, you can make fun of what the person
what
has done.
What was that?
What's that?
It looked like you were eating a shoe.
I was wiping my nose and I didn't want to do it on camera.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't want to do a full nose blow on.
I guess good choice because yeah. you got totally called out.
Forget what I was going to say.
Something about roast comics.
I was saying, I once heard it said, you can make fun of what somebody has done. You can't make fun of who they are. So you can't say like, oh, Hugh Hefner, he grew up in Queens and all those people are thieves. Anybody in from Queens is a thief. But you can say,
I love that as a roast guy.
Right. But you can say like, oh, this magazine that he started in the 50s, you know, this guy was born in a smoking jacket. It's like, that was a choice that he made.
Right.
I don't know if that works across the board, but it was like, you know, when you'd see the roasts, it'd be like, if it was like really damning and it's like, they have no control over, you know, their eyes are too close together or they're a little overweight or, you know.
Sure. But Jeff Ross making fun of Shaq is one of the funniest roasts. And it's,
I don't know that I ever saw that one, the Shaq one.
I don't even know if it's a real Shaq one or Shaq was just there and Jeff Ross decided to make fun of him.
Yeah, it's fair game. Anybody on that stage.
On that dais.
The funniest one
dais, your free game.
Yeah, the funniest one I ever saw was Jerry Stiller was being roasted. It was like really early on. It was like late 90s, early 2000s. And Sandra Bernhard sang a song to him like, I'm going to love you, something like that. And as she's singing the song, she comes up to him and like it sits on his lap as she's singing the song. It's like kind of uncomfortable, but you know, she's got a good voice, decent voice. That segment ends. They come back after a commercial and Jeff Ross goes, Sandra Bernhard, holy shit. I wouldn't fuck Sandra Bernhard with B. Arthur's dick. And B. Arthur was sitting right there. And she shot him up like, watch it. It's like it just landed so hard. People were like, they didn't want to laugh, but they couldn't help but laugh.
I kind of feel bad for Jeff Ross because he had that minute where it was like, oh, I'm the hugest roast comedian that there is. And then that kind of went away and now he's still trying to do it. He does like historical roasts now where like someone comes out as George Washington and he roasts them and stuff. And you're like, yeah. All right. I think your time has come and passed. Like you're funny, but we don't need more of this. But anyway, let's get back to Eliza Lamb. This is a very famous story that we've all heard probably. Willie, do you have a quick summation of it? There's video of her walking through the hotel and then she winds up in the water tank, basically.
End of story.
She's from Vancouver, Canada, Chinese. She was going to school up there and she wanted to see the world, but went to California, you know, and, she checked into the Cecil Hotel January 28th. And then she would call her parents every day and she didn't call them one day. So they called the cops and then all of a sudden she's missing. And, the cops, this is the crazy thing as they're like trying to figure out what happened to her. This is, remember the guy, Christopher Dorner, who was a cop killer, who was a cop.
Yep.
Yeah.
The cops started chasing him to go kill him. And then, so they basically went from like, you know, whatever, 20 detectives on the case down to two. And,
So this is concurrent as that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
And so they had nothing. There were only two people on the case. They couldn't figure anything out. And this is in Skid Row. And the documentary out there, The Vanishing at Cecil Hotel, does a good job of setting all the stage. If you want to watch that, you should probably watch it before you listen to this because we'll probably spoil some shit. But anyways, this has been
out there
since...
What about me? I haven't watched it.
Sorry,
2013.
Wade.
Yeah,
Nobody told me to watch it.
Well, if you turn on Netflix, it's definitely one of those first featured, this is trending right now.
The algorithm, man, it's different for everybody.
Oh, all right, sorry.
I know, right? And it's produced by Brian Grazer and Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, so yeah.
It's definitely milked. It's good, but it's definitely milked. Could have been 2 hours.
It easily could have been a two-parter instead of a six-parter.
I watched it at 1.5 speed. The podcaster made me watch Netflix fast now.
Oh, wow.
I think it was great. Anyways, so the cops like released the video footage of her in the elevator, and there were some very strange things about it, and they didn't realize it was strange when they released it, because they're like, hey, we just need help. Do you recognize this girl? Have you seen her?
Which is the last known footage of her.
And the crazy thing that happened was people watching the video, it like created web sleuthing.
Yeah.
So many people came out of the woodworks to try to figure out what happened to her. And it's funny, like, I'm not going to knock on web sleuthing, but I am going to knock on web sleuthing.
Yeah, for
sure. All these people come in and they're like, oh, I'm a journalist. Oh, I'm a YouTuber. I'm a web sleuther. I'm a reporter, whatever. And like one person said, oh, I've done thousands of hours of research. I'm like, oh, that's weird, because there isn't thousands of hours of research for you to do.
Right.
According to her case. Like, what? Did you Google her 1,000 times?
Right. Well, I just looked up the same information 100 times.
So, but at any rate, people were trying to help solve the case. They started following her Tumblr and connecting to her, and a lot of people cared about it. It was, I mean, when it happened, it was crazy. I just remember how many times I watched the footage going, like, trying to figure it out. Because she looked like she could have been on something. She looks like she was well, let's just talk through the video real quick, right? She steps into an elevator. Hold on. And she kind of moves her hands a little bit weird. She like double checks back outside. And then hides back in and hits all the buttons.
Yeah, it's almost playful. She's like kind of in the corner of the elevator, like she's hiding from somebody, like playing hide and seek.
And then after a while, the elevator just keeps sitting open. And then she kind of walks out of it.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess she's acting weird, but it's like she stands there for like, you know, 15, 20 seconds waiting for the fucking door to close, and it doesn't close. And then she looks out and it still doesn't close. And then, yeah, she's like hiding, like a hide and seek thing.
Right.
But it just never closes.
Oh, you're watching it right now, the footage.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it before too, but like, it's just funny. It's like, yeah, I guess she's acting weird, but I would be like, why the fuck isn't this elevator going? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then they mention the documentary that it kind of jump cuts, where it's like it's not necessarily not closing, but then they say she presses all the buttons down the middle, and the final button in the middle is door open. So that's what was keeping the door open the whole time.
Oh.
But we weren't supposed to talk about that till the end.
I'm sorry. I didn't think that was the part that we weren't supposed to talk about until the end.
Well, no, I just mean like that's a conclusion, because there were so many conspiracies.
Yeah.
The whole one of the biggest conspiracy about this whole thing happening.
To defend Josh a little bit, like she doesn't hit them all at first. She waits for 2 minutes and then hits them all.
That's true. And it does stay open.
Well, like that. So like one of the biggest conspiracies out there was that there's a weird possession thing or something supernatural happening. So people thought that the door being open was supernatural, and that she may have been being possessed. Like that hotel was right next to Skid Row, and the documentary does a good job of explaining how fucking ruthless it was and how people died there all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of people died at this hotel because it was a big hit when it was made, but then all of a sudden, like, the downtown cops basically said, hey, homeless people, you can't leave this area. Mm-hmm. And that was right there. And so,
yeah,
one of those low income hotels. Remember how I said, but there was a hotel that when I first moved here, we could barely afford to live here. And I worked on this movie, and I shot at this hotel downtown on 4th Street, right above, it's a place Dwyer worked at.
Bar 107.
Bar 107. The hotel above them was a fully furnished hotel with the common bathroom at the end of the hall, and it was like $300 a month.
Mm.
And I was in the back of my head, I was like, if I ever get too broke, I don't need to be homeless. I can afford $300 a month to live in this shitty fucking hotel.
Yeah.
That's what Hotel Cecil was. It was like, mm-hmm. It was so cheap that
it
homeless, it's just weird.
A certain clientele.
Like, why was she there? She's like on vacation. Was she misled by somebody, or was that
she
all
she just
for?
found it online and it was like, oh, it's cheap. It looks fine. It's downtown. I mean, imagine.
Yeah.
Right now you're shopping for good hotels in Vancouver. You don't know. Yeah. Area.
Yeah, I would have no idea.
Yeah,
but I definitely would not pick the cheapest one.
No,
but there was there was a website that was called like Stay on Main or something, and it was like glorifying downtown, and Cecil was on that. So it was a used car salesman trying to get people to stay downtown, and it worked because the hotel is so beautiful.
Yeah, at least the lobby of it is.
Yeah.
It's enormous. It's 700 rooms.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about this hotel at all. I didn't know it was outside Skid Row or any of this shit. I always thought it was
It's on 7th Street.
It was like the Roosevelt or something.
No, Roosevelt's much nicer, and that's in Hollywood. This is downtown.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I thought it was like one of these like old Hollywood places.
Mm.
Huh, interesting.
It's like 7th and Main, so it's like there's a comedy show that was right there at 7th and Main. I think I've seen you at before.
Yeah, Hot House.
Yeah, haha, that's right. Hot House.
Yeah.
I did see you there.
So it's not okay, so it's not on Skid Row. It's close to Skid Row.
It's kitty corner, Skid Row. No, it's pretty much in the middle of it.
But I've been to that comedy show. I didn't realize that was that close to Skid Row.
Oh, my God. Street over is, yeah, it's bad, man.
Well, part of the way that I get through life is ignorance.
Which is served you well.
served me okay so far. I haven't been stabbed.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Break
superstition. Knock on wood.
Cross fingers, right? Josh Cheney. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back, continue talking about, I just skipped away from Elisa Lam and her disappearance and reappearance in the Cecil Hotel water tower, which is another question I have. There's just a water tower. But anyway, we'll be right back.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy!
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom!
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills. And the kills. And the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are talking to our good friend Josh Cheney.
Hey there.
Elisa Lam. Oh, sorry. Do you want to say hello?
I mean, yeah. Last time I just waved, so I wanted to add some audio to it. Hey.
Elisa Lam's famous death at the Cecil Hotel.
Spoiler, she dies?
Yeah, that's
Dude,
why it's a
I
mystery.
Told you.
Can't have a mystery without a body.
That's true.
So Willie, what do you want to take us through here?
Well, first off, like when I moved to LA, I always thought Skid Row was just one strip, one street where homeless live. But Skid Row is actually a whole, it's like Little Tokyo. It's like a downtown area. And the cops at one point started basically, the homeless population, the homeless problem in Los Angeles has never been a good situation. And so at some point, the cops basically said, hey, let's just keep all the homeless people in Skid Row. And they actually put barricades up and said, if you're homeless, you can't like walk out of the barricades, and they patrolled it. And they would like,
they put them in a pen.
Cops
they
would
put
them drop in them off out there.
Yeah. They put
so
them in
it's like,
nice
it's like
pen.
A big area of downtown where homeless is allowed. They kind of let the drugs and everything run rampant there. But if you stepped outside of that area, you couldn't. It's like, hey, if you're homeless, like get the fuck back in there. You know, if you're caught doing drugs outside of Skid Row, like fucking get back in Skid Row. Like that was like this weird lawless area that still exists. And it's still, I mean, shit, it's got to be crazy now because all the neighborhoods have big homeless communities. So at any rate, this hotel is just right on the border of Skid Row. You go walking around out there. It's funny because the documentary is like, well, if you're a cute girl walking around, like people had to offer her drugs.
Right.
Skid Row. I'm like, that's not how drugs work.
No,
hey,
they
you
don't.
Want some drugs? Would you right. like some drugs? Because right. I and really they, need to sell this.
And I also thought it was really weird that they said, I mean, they could have offered her, you know, acid or PCP. It's like, what? Are you trying to be cool with the kids? You don't walk down the street and somebody says, hey, you want some blotter acid? Do you want some PCP?
Yeah, especially not people who only have those drugs to do them.
Right. If anything, yeah. And it probably wouldn't happen this way, weed, maybe cocaine, more than likely crack. Nobody's yeah. offering hallucinogenic party type drugs to people downtown in Skid Row.
And so this is the Opie Taylor influence, right? Like Opie Taylor's like, yeah, you're in Skid Row. People are offering you drugs. I'm like, they don't want you to have their drugs.
Right.
They don't want you to know that they have it because there's cops right. everywhere.
So that's why they're saying she was acting weird, because some homeless guy grabbed her and was like, hey, take some PCP with me.
They were trying
and then she went back to the hotel.
They were trying to make that connection where it's like, well, this is a possibility, where it's like, what? That's nuts.
She could be on drugs.
I know that when I'm when I'm in a foreign country, the first thing I do is take whatever any stranger gives me.
But they set it up in such a way where it's like, you know, she was becoming her own person. She was 20. She wanted to travel by herself. She wanted to, you know, spread her wings and really do it up herself and travel alone and have experiences. And she was gregarious and she liked meeting new people. So it was like, it just puts in your mind like, well, I guess possibly, maybe, but still in the back of your mind, you're like, this is highly dubious.
Well, what do you guys think? You've seen the video. Was she on drugs, or what do you think?
Well, I think I should get into I think that what the answer lies at the end of the documentary, which just saying, like, I think that they kind of cracked a big code in it. So like, I think I should finish saying the things about the case and then go into some of the bigger conspiracies, right? So like how she ended up in the water tank. I think that's a big part of the story is that.
Okay. Well, yeah, do whatever, just do it fast or else I'm just going to sit here. Cause I have nothing to add to this.
So she, when they found her in the water tank a few days later, the cops said that the hatch was sealed And so, and she was naked inside this water tank. The hotel has, got 700 rooms. So they have four water tanks that supply all the water to the, it like gives water pressure. They just, it, if they sit on the roof and then like, so there's four water tanks that provide all the water for the whole hotel. And right. She was found
the important thing is that they're on the roof because I don't know if a lot of people picture just four water tanks on a roof. It's like an old timey, like silo style, like when you're flying around in the Batman video game, there's just like water tanks on top of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. Right. And so the cop said that the tank was closed. And so like her being in there and she was naked inside the tank.
She was naked inside the tank and all of her clothes were in there off of her at the bottom of the tank. So that's like,
and so all the conspiracies, sure. There's, could have been something supernatural, paranormal, could have been, that she just basically got, could have been date raped or whatever. And then dropped in there. Like there's a murderer out there. Some people thought that somebody at the hotel was involved with it because
who else would have access to the roof?
Access to the roof was the biggest part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people think that the cops may have had something to do with it because they checked the roof and they didn't find anything. And in both situations with someone from the hotel and or the cops being involved in it, there's just a lot of weird things that happened that made people have a double take at, right? Like the fact that for a long time that the tank was closed and you needed roof access. So it's like, well, if the cops already checked the roof, maybe they missed it and somebody working there knew about how that would work and they got away with it. Or that the cops like somehow were involved in it and put her up there after they've checked the roof or.
Right.
Well, listen, I mean, I've been on roofs that I wasn't supposed to be on. Like right. Roofs are not that hard to get on, especially in a hotel where a stairs will like go up to it.
Right. Roofs aren't hard to be on, but getting into a tank and then sealing it once you're inside, that's unlikely that she did it to herself, I think.
Fair. But I don't know how this water tank works. In my mind, it's a cartoon and you just lift up one side and then go in and then it closes behind you. But that's a cartoon Wade mind version.
Like, right.
Does anyone know what the actual hatch looks like on a water tank?
So this version, the hatch just pops open. But the way that the four water tanks were positioned and the one that she was in, if you came in from the front, you had to squeeze between water tanks, climb across pipes, and then like scale up the tank. It's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
And then if you went the other way, there's a ladder to go up and then you'd have to jump down onto the tank. And so the cops automatically were like, well, if somebody were to take her and dispose of her in there, she would have, let's say she was dead and they were moving a dead body. There's no way they could have gotten her there from any direction without like the body getting bruises or getting hit, having damage done to it.
Right.
And her on her own, she could have easily gone either way. But the biggest, problem there was if the tank was sealed, if she jumped into it, there's no way she could seal it from the inside because she couldn't reach it. Once you're in the tank, unless it was completely full, which it never was, you couldn't close the hatch on yourself once you were in it.
Well, you could if you never opened it fully. If you open it enough to get in and then it just closed behind you.
That's true.
I'm not saying that's what happened,
saying it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at this point, I mean, those are the main conspiracies and you got web sleuthers and you got cops and you got everybody trying to figure it out. And I mean, like the whole thing's pretty crazy because I'll throw some other weird stats out there that like she went to the last bookstore, right? But they remembered her being there. And so there are some weird synchronicities. Like if you go to the last bookstore website and look up the registrar,
oh yeah,
it'll give you a zip code. It'll give you a zip code. And if you Google Maps the zip code, it brings up an address in Canada of the cemetery where she's buried. It's like, what the fuck? How does the last bookstore zip code lead you specifically to where she's buried? That's fucking weird.
Hackers.
And in that same vein.
Yeah, man, right? Could be.
I mean, internet pranksters. I have no idea. It would all have to do.
But this all happened. Like they discovered it. It wasn't like it wasn't like, hey, look at this. It was like,
right. It wasn't broadcast.
What the fuck, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
There was this guy. There was this band. This guy Morbid who released a video a couple days after she was missing, and he was a black metal band, and he in the video he's chasing a girl until she dies in the end. And then he has another video where he's like mentions Ted Bundy, and there's pictures of people in the background. He was at the Cecil Hotel. At any rate, this guy basically got canceled for people thinking that he killed her.
Right.
And I'm not going to take this any further. Like he had nothing to do with it. He's been canceled. And after everything they figured out, like he just doesn't do music anymore. He doesn't have a career. They pulled his YouTube channel. They pulled his email account because, he got canceled before canceling was happening.
Yeah. 2013.
And he doesn't do music anymore. It's a very sad story.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing black metal. I don't know how much longer he could have been doing that anyway.
Never know.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying that, like, this is all because of web sleuthing. he got accidentally canceled, and he has nothing to do with anything. He was actually at the hotel a year before. That's when he made the video.
Right.
And so he wasn't there when.
But the web sleuth decided to add 2 + 2 when there was nothing to add.
Yeah, they've never shot a video before. It takes a lot more than 2 days.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think at this point, we'll get into the toxicology report. What do you call that thing?
Toxicology report.
What do you call that?
Cause of death.
Cause of death. Yeah, that didn't get published until 6 months after they found her dead. So, whatever. The end result was that it was marked as undetermined, and then that was scratched out, and then it was determined that it was an accidental death. And so a lot of people thought there was conspiracy, but why did you change it?
Does that make sense? Because you alluded that she would have had bruises, but she didn't. So I'm guessing she didn't have bruises.
Yeah, no bruises, no drugs other than the meds that she was on. And so, I mean, this is where they kind of cracked the code, I think, is that like the only drugs in her body were her meds. And they were lower doses than she should have been taking. She was on medication for being bipolar. And that didn't come out till later either. And her pills, the pill bottles in her. Oh, this is a crazy thing about the hotel. Why people thought that someone in the hotel was involved, because when the cops went looking for her to go investigate her room, her stuff had already been cleared out by the hotel. Like they already emptied it.
Well, how long was that?
Well, I'm not really sure, but her wallet was in there, her computer, all of her valuables. So like they cleared her room without her checking out with everything she needs to survive.
Right, I can imagine that's a pretty common thing, though, for a hotel that's renting by the day or by the week for like really low rent. You know what I mean? Like,
I imagine that too. But if somebody's ID is a wallet and all their important stuff is in there, they should have called the cops.
Right?
Like, hey, it's not just like, hey, somebody left some stuff in here. It's like, hey, somebody's missing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And so I can see why that makes people think that someone from the hotel was in on it.
Right.
But anyways, when they went through her pills, it like proved that she was underdosing herself. She like was stopping taking her pills, her bipolar pills. She had four medications.
Okay, but that's what you do when you're trying to get off medicine. You taper it off, right?
Right, but why is she doing it now? Why is she doing it while she's on vacation?
Fucking wants to feel all of that vacation, baby.
That's right.
You wanna see the Hollywood sign when you're like numbed out?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, that's true.
That thing is gorgeous, imagine, man. You gotta see that in all its beauty.
It's so gorgeous.
Out of all the medications to take, if you're taking bipolar medication, I feel like that'd be the easiest thing to convince yourself you don't need.
But bipolar, like, no, bipolar is not normal. Like it's not like schizophrenic or anything. It's just like severe bouts of depression and then
high highs and low lows.
Yeah, so it's not like it's not like you're dangerous or anything like that.
Right.
People live their whole lives not knowing they're bipolar.
That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
So let's go back. Is that everything?
Right. Well, I mean, here's my take on everything. There's all these documentaries coming out in Netflix and they interview these cops, and it's basically in all the situations, it's like, the cops are being accused of having part in it, and maybe even the same detective from the Tupac and Biggie guy cop was also in this documentary. And when I watch it from the outside, I'm like, oh man, the LAPD is really trying to clean up their how they look, how convenient right now, because there were cops working for death row, that there were dirty cops even through this that may have smudge some things, or you know, you tell the coroner, be like, hey, don't fucking make it undetermined, make it an accident so that nobody keeps looking, you know,
continues like, investigating this.
So you think the cops,
well, I'm just like, how I mean like there's so the LAPD so fucking corrupt and dirty this whole time. Like, I feel like there's a campaign to clean them up. I'm not saying that they are completely dirty or completely clean. It's just weird.
Well, but dirty or clean in this case, it's not a cop who did it, right? Maybe they fucked up some evidence or something, but no cop did any. They didn't. There's no conspiracy theory that a cop did.
But one idea in my head that I might just be making this up right now, is that like, if you know Skid Row's fucking dirty, you're the cops. Like, what? Let's say you're a cop who, let's say you're a cop, and this is all hypothetical, where you, let's say you raped a girl and then you wanted to kill her. Like, you could put her at the Cecil. Like, this is a fucking dirty ass shit hotel that the cops, the managers, the girl that ran the place, is like, you know, we call the cops, they wouldn't even answer. And then when they did, they never came to our place, whatever. Just saying, like, if there was a cop involved in this cover up and like kind of meddled with some things, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm sure that that's happened, where cops have done some dumb things and tried to hide, cover their tracks, and just blame it on Skid Row.
For sure.
Throw it at Skid Row.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. But like, what do you think happened here?
Well, you go first, Josh. What do you think after watching it? Like,
I think the logical answer is probably the correct one. I don't think it was an inside job. I think what Wade was saying is more than likely what happened. The fact that they kind of like got all of her belongings, that doesn't seem suspicious to me. It just seemed like that's kind of like protocol. Somebody doesn't show up for a little bit. We got to rent this room, or we've got to, you know, just turn over this room, put it all in bag. It would have been suspicious if all of her stuff was gone. Just, you know, wallet, laptop, everything was just, it's gone. The fact that it's still there and all of her stuff is there. But also I can see your side, like, yeah, we'll look into this because she was here. We have proof that she was here. And we went to the last bookstore and found, you know, she was, you know, being outgoing and saying like, and there was something to do with the book. Like she wanted people helping her carrying the books because they were so heavy. And she was going to be traveling with them, but that's kind of sidebar. I think it's more than likely, I don't know. It's just so weird. It's not a likely conclusion that you taper off your antipsychotic meds or whatever potency they were. And because of that, you go crazy and throw yourself into a water tank on the top of a hotel that you're staying at. I mean, that's a big leap to make in your mind. But there's just, I mean, it's like, you can see it both ways. Like, okay, like Willie was saying that, let's say that is what happened. Somebody did something nefarious with her, was trying to dispose of her. They picked a really dumb and difficult place to dispose of the body. I mean, all the way up on the thing, and it's difficult to get into and throw her in there naked with her clothes.
That being said, it's kind of amazing that they found her, right?
It is.
How did they find her?
Because the water pressure in the hotel was a little off, and the color of the water coming out of people's faucets.
And the water started tasting bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how long was that?
Like only a few days. after they saw that footage, last known footage of her in the elevator.
So here's the crazy thing, and I forgot to mention this. Oh yeah, go on.
Like, what do you actually think happened, Josh? Do you think that, because I haven't seen this documentary, do they bring up suspects? Is there like some crazy dude that she was seen with or anything like that?
No, she's not seen with anybody crazy. There's nobody like overwhelmingly like, you know, on like Dateline type things where it's like, it's always the husband. It's always the boyfriend. Yeah. There was nobody traveling with her. There was nobody seen with her. The only kind of clue is when she's in the elevator, she's acting erratically, but she's acting erratically in such a way that it looks like she's having a conversation with someone or something. Yeah. She's kind of gesturing like she's like talking to somebody or hiding from somebody or being playful with somebody, but you never see that person.
Yeah.
So there is no definite, oh, well, it's more than likely this person, but they painted in such a way that it's like, everyone's a suspect. Anybody who worked at the Cecil Hotel, anybody who was on Skid Row, you know, but a disgruntled ex-boyfriend, that's never mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about ghosts? You don't believe in ghosts. Could this be a ghost?
No.
The crazy thing is,
I was just going to say, forget the fact that I don't believe in ghosts.
That was the big conspiracy at first, because she was acting erratically and all they had was that one video. And so, I mean, the crazy thing. So here's one little sidebar, is that the tank door was actually open. The cops just reported it wrong to the media. It was supposedly, according to the cops, it was an accident. The tank door was open, so she could have fallen in. The crazy part for me is that the cop suggests that, or the coroner or whatever says that, well, her clothes probably came off because the water was cold and she had hypothermia, just treading water in there, couldn't get out.
Right.
And like my immediate response is, sure, I know what hypothermia is, but have you ever tried to take wet pants off? A. Yeah. And B, have you ever tried to take pants off while you're treading water in an area where, I mean, like that, to me, there's no fucking way she took her clothes off while she was in the water.
Right.
Well, it's, listen,
how do you she's wearing take a, you?
First of all, she's wearing a skirt.
Right. But it's so inconclusive in that it's like, it can be seen both ways. There's no way she did this to herself. Okay, if she didn't do that to herself, somebody did it to her. If somebody did it to her,
I think 100% she did not do it to herself, because like I like going around on roofs and looking at shit, but I would never jump into a water tank.
Right, but the fact that she didn't do it to herself, there's nothing on her person that suggests like there was a struggle, that she was manhandled, that she was like, who on their own volition goes, all right, well, now that we're done doing our thing, I'm going to need you to get in that tank. And she's like, okay.
And even to Willie's point, like it is a long sleeve jacket, and
it's like a hooded sweatshirt.
Yeah, and my first thought with hypothermia is not to take my clothes off, because that's not what you think when you're cold.
Right. Yeah, the fact that the clothes are off makes it seem like dispose of the body. Oh, also dispose of the clothes in the same place.
I would have just at least I would have, I don't know. It's so fucking weird, because like you guys are talking about what a shady hotel this is, right? Mm-hmm. Like put her anywhere. Like why put her in a fucking, because that opens intrigue, right? Like, well, how did she get in this water tank? Like if you just put her anywhere.
Yeah.
And then she's just
I would imagine that most people seeing those water tanks on the roof wouldn't actually know there was water in them.
No. I wouldn't.
Also, they're not like giant. I've been looking up pictures of them, and mm-hmm. like they're like what, 10 feet tall. The hatch doesn't even really look big enough to like stuff a body into, like a dead body that's like really hard to maneuver, right? Because what does an arm weigh? Like 15 pounds? Like every part of a dead body is a heavy, heavy thing.
Yeah.
To get it up, like 10 feet up into the air, and then like to force it into this, I'm totally baffled. Well,
let me ask you guys this about, okay, so they did a rape kit on her, right? And it came up that she wasn't raped, but like, I don't know how rape kits work, but I also don't know if, I mean, like, are they looking for semen? Because let's say the body was in the water for so long that like you could rape a body and it just swells up to where you can't tell that it was raped. To me, this is the perfect place. If you want to erase evidence, put a body in water.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, I don't know what a rape kit,
because
there's probably plenty of rapes where you don't come in the fucking vagina, right? So they can't just be looking for
that.
Semen.
And if you're looking for, let's say that you had sex with someone, and I mean, like, is there evidence that it was rubbed for a while?
But, yeah, and then, maybe, and then you, that's put what I was saying. Like maybe the tissue was inflamed or something.
But you put a body in water for 3 days and all that inflammation's gone.
Right.
If they were alive.
Yeah, I'm just looking at preparing for a sexual assault forensic exam. Don't bathe, shower, use the restroom, change clothes. Like, don't do any of these things that are basically everything that she was in this tank would have done.
Right.
And so to me, I mean, my thought, let me say this quick, crazy conspiracy that's out there that like I don't subscribe to, but one idea is that a couple days, 2 days after she went missing, there was a tuberculosis outbreak, and they bring this up in the documentary and they brush over it very quickly. It's weird because the documentary the whole time is like, hey, she probably did experimental drugs. She didn't, but they pushed it so hard, even though they knew that she didn't. So that's fucking weird.
Right.
And then they bring up this other idea that tuberculosis outbreak happened downtown at Skid Row, and the tuberculosis test is called the Lamb Eliza test, which is, well, I mean, Lamb Elisa. It's like her name, but like backwards. And so,
yeah.
And the college that she went to had a place that tested tuberculosis. So the quick idea is that there's some big government shit going on, and she's the evil agent that was actually supposed to be spreading tuberculosis to Skid Row to kill homeless people. I mean, it was a big, crazy, like, wash over it. I'm sure it went deeper on the internet, but, like, just because there's weird connections. But I don't subscribe to that, but it's just crazy things that, like, the college she went to has a tuberculosis thing, and the test is called the Lamb Elisa test.
Yeah.
It's just crazy weird.
It's very weird. It's also very bad planning as like an evil tuberculosis spreader to be like, and then we'll name the test after the woman who we're using.
Right.
I know.
We just said they were evil. We didn't say they were smart.
The way the devil works is they want to put it in plain sight to mock Jesus.
Right, that's
always the thing. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that's what, why you're so smart that you cracked it, because it's so obvious.
Right.
Like, you know why it's called test, which stands for...
it's an acronym?
Lipoarabinomannan. And then enzyme-linked aminosorbent assay. So it's an acronym. It's an abbreviation and an acronym.
Mm.
Wow. I mean, I think that the documentary like shows you how fucking bad that hotel is, and that like one guy was like, once you go up past a certain floor, like you're probably gonna get murdered.
Bullshit. That's got to be bullshit. There's no place don't go past this floor or you'll get murdered. Like, this, homeless people are not out there just going like, we need to kill everybody.
Mm. Speaking of,
here's the crazy thing.
There's no 13th floor in the Cecil Hotel.
Oh, they're one of those.
Yeah.
The hotel basically got some city thing put on it where it's like, oh, this is low income housing. So half of your hotel is low income housing and the other half is like a hotel. And there's only two elevators. So the low income, like the guests of the hotel were constantly in the elevators with like super low income housing people doing drugs.
Sure.
I'm not saying everybody on low income is doing drugs, but.
And they're trying to be homeless. Like, no, murder is not a thing that most people are like, I just got a fucking murder. And if they are, they're like serial killers and they do it in a fun way and they leave you puzzle clues.
Right.
Yeah. There definitely were a lot of people thrown off the building, though. Like, I'm from high levels. Like, there have been a lot of murders at.
Like drug fights and shit. I get that, but like I'll go there right now and I'll fucking spend a night there. I'll be fine.
More than likely, yeah. you would be. But do you want to take that chance?
If you gave me $1,000, yes.
Okay. There's got to be financial incentive.
Well, there's got to be some kind of incentive. Otherwise, what
the incentive is you showing us that it's safe.
Well, it's COVID times. Maybe once we go.
Backpedaler. Yeah.
I'm not backpedaling. I'll do it. I'm very lazy and I don't like being out of my element. All I'm saying is
I guarantee you
that I could spend a night in this hotel and be fine.
You can guarantee that?
I can guarantee that. I can guarantee it. All yes. Right. I'll even dress up like an Asian woman and I'll go to the bookstore before and I'll be like, please help me with these books.
That was another creepy part about the documentary where they had the web sleuths and they were like, you know, like YouTube, you know, vlogging, like this is the elevator that she was in. Like if I was staff there, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, what you're doing is
after so she died,
disrespectful. Like, you think you're helping. You're trying to get views. You're trying to monetize your fucking channel. It's
Right. They pushed that so hard, it made me so mad. I'm like, man, why are you putting all these sleuthers in this documentary? Like, you're glorifying them and giving them a bigger voice.
Right.
Well, we're at about that time, so I'm still baffled. Like, Willie, you think they cracked it by saying that she was off her meds and she just climbed up there on her own?
Well, I mean, they have a finality to it. I mean, me personally, listen, she may have been acting weird because she was reducing her meds, but I, you know, and they also pushed this too, that she was, according to her Tumblr, she was open to like meet people. She wanted to see the world. She wanted to meet people. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she would have ended up in that tank. If you watch the video of her in the elevator, she's in like I think she's in a scared state. And I don't think if you're scared, you're going to end up hiding in the tank and taking off your clothes. I think she could have ended up hiding in the tank, but not taking off her clothes. So I think something else weird that happened. Maybe somebody took advantage.
Wait, let me propose this. You get in the tank. You're super freaked out. You try to hide in the tank. Like you said, she didn't know there was water in there or not. She's in there. She can't reach the top. So she's like, well, I have clothes. I could maybe like tie them together and then like fucking fling them up there in a last ditch effort to like climb out of here.
I think that if that's what you're trying to do, you would never take off your underwear.
Yeah. If I do get out of this,
you're going
to
use your skirt, your jacket. You're not going to take your underwear and bra off.
Well, I mean, it's another good 6-inch reach or something. I mean, I wouldn't, because my underwears are like $30 and I don't want to stretch them.
You got the high-end underwear.
I got really high-end underwear. I somehow conned into this underwear, and so now it's the most expensive thing that I own.
So I'm not giving that. I don't, even though I'm getting that extra 6 inches of reach. I can't do it.
I think that everybody's trying to just look good. I'm not saying that the cops are covering up anything. I don't think a cop had anything to do with it. And I don't think anybody that works there had anything to do with it. But I think that like it's funny because all the news reports is like, why would she end up in the water tank? And I'm like, hey, because you're trying to hide the fact that you killed someone. That's why somebody ended up in a water tank.
Right. It
gets rid of all the evidence.
Yeah.
And so like,
yeah, I keep going back to that she wasn't bruised or anything like that. So like, how did she die? Did they drown? But
what if she was held at gunpoint to walk up the stairs? What if she?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's what I'm asking. What if? All right. She, maybe.
Like
Let me put you in that situation. Like, some guy gets a gun on you, and he's like, "Walk up these stairs, and now climb up onto that water tank. Okay, now jump in. Do you jump in, or you just jump off and try and run away somewhere?
Jump off the building?
No, like I'm looking at the water tanks and like there is not a good place to be with a gun to get somebody to like try to jump in. Like you could easily just like take your chances and be like, okay, maybe he'll hit me. He probably won't kill me. I'm going to go this way.
Well, you're introducing this theory that maybe they were held at gunpoint and then you're coming up with excuses why it wouldn't work.
Willie introduced it. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
My lame version, which is so specific, is that it's not.
Oh, hang on. I just thought of something. I'm sorry, Willie, to cut you off, but here's what happened. He was going to try to get her. He was going to, whoever this guy is, he's got her at a gunpoint. That's what I'm working with.
Okay.
He takes her up to the roof. They get on the water towers, and he's like, okay, now jump off the building, bitch. And she's like, oh, I'll show him. And she jumps into the water tank, and he's like, fuck. And he just runs away. But then now she's like, oh, shit, I can't get out of here. Maybe I'll try a rope to build a rope out of my clothes, underwear included.
You're laughing at your own ridiculous theory.
I think it's good. I think it's pretty tight.
It's actually watertight.
Because if you're up there, why would you put her in the tank and not just throw her over the building
throwing over the building doesn't destroy evidence. Water does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's my thing is like, I personally think that she probably was raped. And that
but my very quick counter to that is she could have just had sex. Like, why would they do a rape kit on someone who committed suicide? And even if they did, how does that link back to you?
Right.
I mean I think that if you are like pre-planning all of the possible things, I feel like somebody figured out the water tank thing and then went and did it and then put her in there.
Figured it out ahead of time.
Yeah, it would have had to have been.
The cops, the cops and the coroner's defense is you couldn't have carried the body over your shoulder without her hitting the ladder or bruising herself. And it's like, well, what if they had planned for that and like just put her in a sack and carried the sack over her over their shoulder? You know what I mean? It's just like their defense is couldn't carry a body without the body hitting the ladder. Or hitting something
folded over a shoulder, that would be bruising, right? It's like all of your 120 pounds or whatever she is, like weighing on the shoulder and just like bouncing up and down.
The body being in the water
for that long. That's the thing, is like the bruising would happen if she were dead and being carried. If she were alive and being carried, you don't bruise from just folding or having your weight on stuff. So, like,
yes, you do.
I think that she was alive when she was put.
Well, she would be bruised just the same, I think. My theory was that she was dead for so long that bruising couldn't even occur. But I don't know that much about this. This was all one.
Well,
night,
see,
but they
see
only
that,
found
that,
her like
that,
3 days later.
That's the interesting thing. It was way later. And the thing is like she could have been dead somewhere else and then all the, you know, and then put into the tank, you know, like.
Okay,
like,
here's my new theory.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
They killed her.
Okay.
Well, wait, did they kill her, though? Because she has no way that she died. That's the whole thing. It's like nobody knows how she died.
Yeah, it said inconclusive. It didn't say it was
the toxicology report. I mean. The report of her death said that she drowned.
Right.
Okay. So, okay. Then they drown her. And then in the hotel room, right? They rape her and drown her in the hotel room. And then they're like, shit. Oh, fuck. That thing, someone's going to find her. And then they go back. And they're like, okay, let's all put her in the water tower. And then they're like banging her all around because she's been dead for so long. It doesn't matter. They're just like hitting her head on stuff. And it's not registering because there's no blood rushing to the side of the wound to cause a bruise.
Right.
And then they stuff her in there. I think that's a pretty good theory. They killed her and then returned a couple days later.
Well, to me, the fact that she's naked, is it like, well, you're trying to get rid of the body, maybe you take the clothes off. But like, if you're trying to get rid of the body, you're going to put the clothes with the body. If you wanted people to think that she drowned, you would put her clothes on. But if you, but the thing is like you, if you put her in the tank, I feel like you would think that they would never find her.
Right.
Oh, for sure. You would think that. Yeah. Okay. So here's what happened. She met a fun dude and they were like, let's take a bath together. But then she drowned. And then that guy freaked out and was like, I can't be caught with a dead body.
Oh, I just wanted to have a fun bath.
This is
going to
be my third strike.
Oh, God, this keeps happening.
He just wanted to have a horny bath and she drowned. And he lost his mind and was like, fuck, I got to get rid of this. And it worked.
And it worked.
And he's out there somewhere listening to this and going like, wait.
Damn it, they figured.
And now I'm next. So hopefully he doesn't come for me.
Yeah, I hope not. You didn't mention your address on this podcast, do you?
Oh, I say it constantly.
Oh, God. What? You gotta check the tape.
I don't know. I love this, but I just don't know what it could have been. I guess the easiest explanation is she had a weird psychosis moment, climbed into the tank, panicked, took her clothes off and drowned. Right. That's the easiest fucking thing.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, but there really is no theory that it's like, well, logically that's obviously what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, bipolar isn't logical.
No. Even tapering off your medication isn't. Especially if before she was on her medication, like they didn't go into it a ton, but she had no history of, you know, totally flying off the handle or doing things just, so erratic.
It's just convenient that they have the answer.
Yeah.
That they're like the cop that couldn't figure out is telling you how they figured it out.
Well, listen, like, the whole cop thing, like, sure. I just doubt it's nefarious. I think it's probably more like, we don't want this case on the books. Like, she fucking drowned. We have no leads. Like, what's the point of keeping this open? You know what I mean? It's probably more out of laziness than anything.
I agree with that.
Cut to 2029. They finally figure it out. The cold case.
That would be great. If only.
If only.
Are there actual cold case detectives? Is that a thing that we actually pay for? They scrounge up 20-year-old mysteries and go look. That's a real thing?
Oh,
I
yeah.
want to do that.
I mean, it's just kind of, as I understand, it's just kind of stuff that's put on the back burner. And then if any new information, you know, forensic or, you know, a new tip or somebody else comes forward with new information that, you know, an angle that they hadn't yet.
So it's just regular detectives and then some new thing comes up. And
yeah. Something brings it to the forefront
again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like it's on in the background all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's,
I would love to look at the Google searches of a cold case detective, you know, like just trying to think of different sentences to Google.
Mm-hmm. See his Google search history. If I was going to,
it would probably just look a lot like mine. It would be Water Tank Cecil Hotel.
Death metal guy.
Death metal.
20-year-old having a good time downtown.
Yeah. This isn't going to help.
What is Skid Row? What is it? Skid Row.
Let's start with that. Where did Skid Row start?
Okay. Well, any other sort of like final thoughts on this? Like, this is crazy to me. I don't think we'll ever know.
My final thought is I'm stumped.
The fact that she has no cause of death outside of drowning and no like struggling is insane to me.
Yeah.
Because it feels exactly like a murder, but everything but that.
Yeah.
I just think that even in a bipolar state, even in a scared state, like even if she, her hiding from someone that wasn't really there, like jumping into the tank, I just don't feel like she would have taken off her clothes after that. And so there's something missing, and we will probably never find it. And that's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. One last theory. She psychs herself out. She jumps into this water tank. She can't reach back out. Mm-hmm. So she's floating on her back for as long as possible. She realizes her clothes are weighing down on her. She's like, fuck, okay, I'm going to take these clothes off. I'll keep floating. Someone will come find me eventually, but then they don't.
I mean, it's not a terrible theory, but at some point during that, your natural reaction is to kind of panic and go, I've got to get out of here. So there would be some sign of, you know, scraped skin or something, and there was nothing.
Yeah. Dude, trying to climb out of the tank that doesn't even exist on her body.
Right.
You're so right.
Unsolved mystery.
All right. Well, fuck.
That makes it crazier, you know? Yeah.
No sign of struggle. No lacerations, no bruising.
I don't know. She probably killed herself.
Could be.
I think she got naked and killed herself. Like that last moment, she's standing over the thing. She takes all her clothes off because she's fucking off her meds and shit. She's bipolar, and so she's probably going through like a real depressive state. And then she just jumps in, and that's the end. It's just, I don't know how she ended up there or why.
Yeah.
The elevator thing where she's like talking to herself and looking scared is interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. This is crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, let's wrap it up. Thanks for being here, Josh.
Yeah, man.
Do you want to plug any of your socials or any projects coming up or anything?
Yeah, I just got some... I just got a new hair weave. You call them plugs, but we don't like using that word. I don't have anything to plug. that show that I mentioned, the kind of comedy show with a panel of comedians and also kids that ask questions, is called No Cap Comedy. We're going to be doing it. We should be doing it once a week, but for how long and who's going to be on next week and what time, we're not sure, but that's going to be going on next. When we did it yesterday. So Wednesday, 4:30 Pacific Standard Time. If anybody wants any information about it, I can send you the link. Otherwise, call your local cable company and tell them, hey, keep playing that Geico commercial with the clogging guy.
I feel like you've squeezed all the blood out of that stone. It diminishes, right? Doesn't it?
It diminishes, but man, I call it wishful thinking. There's something about Geico commercials. I mean, there's something about a lot of commercials where 5 years will go by and all of a sudden you start seeing that commercial again.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. They do the Geico greatest hits or whatever.
They did that. They did the Hump Day one. They did like a bunch of...
Here's my thing with Geico. Like, I would never trust a company who can put so much fucking ads out there.
Don't you dare besmirch Geico. Okay, you don't do that.
Could you fix my bumper, Geico, and maybe spend another last $1 million on another fucking campaign?
They are eight saints campaigns. They are saints. And they work really hard.
There's the guys on the stage. There's this flogging thing.
I wouldn't trust anyone with my car insurance over Geico.
There is no way that you have Geico.
100% I 100% do have Geico.
Do you actually?
I did. I had Geico for 10 years before I ever booked the commercial.
Did they hook you up?
That's cool.
With a little discount rate?
That happens all the time. Like, I did a Pizza Hut commercial or Domino's, and people are like, so you got free Domino's for a year, right? I was like, it's not like sweepstakes. You don't like, all right,
Charlie. I would never presume that you got free car insurance. I'm just saying, maybe you could get 10% off.
Nah.
They mentioned me
on Twitter once, and I like retweeted it and said something back to them, and we had like a little bit of a back and forth, but I'm less than a blip on their radar.
Well, I feel like this is a management problem. If I was your manager, you would definitely have like 10% off on that Geico.
I don't know about that. All I know is, and all that I can say for absolute certain is Geico's the best. And you got to get them.
Geico's the best, and none of the rest.
There's not any rest of them. Rolls off the tongue.
Dude, thanks again for being here. You got to take off, right? You're not going to stick around for the bonus?
I'll stick around for a minute, but yeah, I do. I was going to finish dinner a while ago, but I'll make it in a little bit. It's fine. Tia's still working, so there's nothing pressed.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, then stick around, everybody. Go to our patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue this conversation with Josh Chaney. Willie, any final thoughts, plugs, anything?
You know, just such a shame. I don't think that this documentary cracked the code. I say that because, like, they definitely cracked all the web sleuths.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy conspiracies.
Well, they definitely did that as, like, a huge... Not a huge misdirection, but that's the reason why it was six episodes. They took one entire episode to be like, these are some crazy conspiracy theories. They might be onto something here. And then the next episode was like, listen, we have actual professional investigators and detectives who do this for a living. They know what the fuck they're talking about. You think... You're a sleuth. You're that kid in The Incredibles who follows around Mr. Incredible saying, I could be just like you. You're not. You don't have the years. This is a hobby for you. Get the fuck out of here. You destroyed somebody's life going down a certain road thinking, well, obviously, it's this death metal guy who killed her.
But that's they do the damage and then they immediately rebuild it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ron Howard.
But they still use all these web people to be credible sources. Even in the end, they're like, so what do you think about, you know?
Right.
They like still have them all talking in the end. And I'm like, you should have stopped that.
Yeah, for sure. They should have.
Okay, well, hey, listen, it sounds like there's more to talk about, so let's do that. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi, and we'll continue that conversation over there. In the meantime, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening, everybody.